Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and happy Sunday. We've got a really great show for you today. Some real heavy hitters from Congress. I can't wait to have that conversation. We're going to kick things off with one of the most influential members of Congress. He's influential because he's on the House Rules Committee. He's also in the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina. He is not happy with Mike Johnson and his Republican colleagues. Felt like they've been bending too easy. And as a result, they end their first year in control of the House with not enough victories for Ralph Norman to be satisfied. He's going to explain why in the opening block of that. Then we're going to turn to January 6th and the man who has turned up more evidence to change the narrative about the failures that led to January 6th. It wasn't all about Donald Trump only. There were lots of security failures, lots of extraordinary incongruent behavior. Congressman Barry Loudermilk, the chairman of the House Administration's Oversight Subcommittee, and the man who has driven more revelations about January 6th than anyone else I know. He'll join us in the second block. We'll talk about all those revelations and what lies ahead in 2024. By the way, he just spoke to Speaker Johnson. He's going to get more resources. That's one of the things you're going to hear. They're expanding the January 6th investigation to look at the issues of fairness, security, and other things that have gone on. And then in the third block, Congressman Brian Babin from Texas, he'll follow up on our great conversation with Ted Cruz we had on the show yesterday. He's got some very strong sentiments about what's wrong with Joe Biden's border policy and its consequences and its likely impact on the 2024 election. Congressman Brian Babin, a great veteran, military veteran, a great member of Congress, one of its wisest members. We always love having him on the show. And then we'll finish up with a great conversation with Aaron Withy at the Freedom Foundation. He is going to bring us up to speed on some of the new things going on in teachers' unions and the effort to neuter them when it comes to dictating the lives of teachers. They should have more free speech freedoms, Aaron Withy says, and he's going to describe some of the victories and some of the challenges ahead. That is our Sunday brunch edition. It's a good one. Before we go to commercial break, I want to remind you about one of the secret weapons I've been using to get healthier in 2023, and I will continue to use in 2024. I've got these in my desk drawer every day. I take a couple of them. They're human super beats. I love them. It's such an important thing. Super beats heart chews are an easy and convenient way to support healthy blood pressure. They're plant-based and they're stimulant-free, so you get a green boost without the jitters. Now, paired with a healthy lifestyle like exercising, the antioxidants in super beats are clinically shown to be nearly 2 times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than just a healthy lifestyle alone. So double your potential with Super Beats Heart Chews. Get a free 30-day supply. You're right. You're going to get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats and 15% off your first order by going to GetSuperBeats.com. GetSuperBeats, Beats is BETS.com. And use the promo code JustNews. That's GetSuperBeats.com. Use the promo code JustNews. Do what I do. Get healthier. 2023 has been my most healthy year, and I attribute a lot of that to my good friends at Super Beats. All right. When we come back, we're going to get start off with Congressman Ralph Norman in just a few seconds. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health, or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Congressman Ralph Norman is not only a member of the House Rules and Budget Committees, he's one of the most common sense sounding lawmakers. He's always fighting for common sense values in America and for his principles. And we're lucky he's able to join us before Christmas. Congressman, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on, sir.
Well, John, I'm always glad to be with you. You have a great program.
Yeah, we appreciate that, sir, and you help us make it great. I want to dive into the NDAA because I have heard more concern among Republican lawmakers about what happened this week. Democrats basically pushed this over the line. They basically delayed FISA reform. They got rid of a lot of the woke agenda things that are affecting the recruitment efforts in the Pentagon. It seemed like Republicans had a big opportunity and they bent too easily. What's your take on it?
That's exactly right, John. I mean, we've seen this playbook before. They wait before Christmas, and then the Senate uses their whatever means they have to exercise control over the House. I mean, the votes, 310 to 118, the Republicans, you had 147 Republicans vote for this monstrosity, and you had more Democrats vote for it at 163. So the bad provisions that we could have, should have negotiated out and at least fought for, $410 million to reimburse countries for their border security. Get that, border security. Yes. Tunisia, Egypt, Jordan. We can't even secure our own border. Does not eliminate the DEI to any extent. It reauthorizes FISA 702, which was abused by the FBI and so many others. Drag shows are seen, gender transition surgeries. And, you know, the insult, John, and Amanda, is the fact that they offered a 5.2% raise for our troops. You know, inflation has been rampant since this president has been in office. It has eaten up. If you compound it, it's eaten up any 5%. If any group deserves to take money from the programs that this administration is pushing, the woke programs, it's our military. So I'm very disappointed in the vote.
Yeah, I understand why.
Yeah, what's incredible about it, I read through some of the details. It doesn't have any of the good things, and it has all of the bad things. Just to run down some of the things that you said and add to it, it doubles Ukraine aid to $600 million. It funds abortion vacations, basically. It kept all the trans garbage, the payment for sex changes, all of that in there. No FISA reform, as you highlighted, 5.2% pay raise, which is completely negated by inflation. That is down from what was originally proposed at 30%. And I just think to myself, you know, Speaker Johnson came in with such promise and people had such high hopes for him. And it almost seems like he's surrounded by the wrong people. Well, who is he surrounded by, and how do you replace that with people who are actually listening to the American people and fighting for the things to go into these types of bills that the American people want?
Well, we met with him, Amanda. We the Freedom Caucus did, and others. I was involved with several groups, and we told him. I mean, the House controls the purse strings. Why are we at the beck and call of Chuck Schumer and the Democrats and Hakeem Jeffries? And this bill, I mean, go down the list of what I could go down the list, you know, for the next hour. But when I found out that funding for historically black colleges are in this bill, what has that got to do with national defense? Nothing. But we've got in January and February, he promises to fight, and we'll be back with him. Now, in his defense, he went to the skiff and saw some horrible things that were prevented because of the proper use of FISA in 504. So, but that doesn't explain, we should still be up there fighting and not go home for Christmas. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is remarkable. Sarah, I look back, it was about a year ago when all the excitement about House Republicans coming into power was there. And there are, I think, four big promises that the voters who put Republicans in power thought were going to get. Impeachment inquiry. That's been done. Check. We got that going. That's a big one. Closing the border, not yet accomplished. FISA reform, not yet accomplished. Shrinking the government, not yet accomplished. In fact, it's actually expanding as we speak right now. How important is it between now and March that the Republicans deliver on those three remaining big promises they have? And what happens if they don't deliver? What's the likely retribution for voters next year?
They need to be held accountable. The only way you hold them accountable is run somebody that's conservative, who really doesn't need the job, doesn't want the job. Run people like that, business people. This isn't that hard, John. We got two cancers in this country. The cancer of overspending to the tune of $33 trillion and counting, and then the invasion at the border, which is a national security threat. I can't tell you the intel folks that tell us a terror attack is right around the corner. President Trump only had 30 known terrorists. We've got exceeding 3,000 plus that we know of that hate this country. And he's failing to do that. We've got to deliver on that. And the only way you deal with those who continue to vote like this, like they did on the NDA, is to try to replace them.
Yeah. Wow.
Sarah, I want to hone in on some of the peripheral issues surrounding Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Per John's reporting from yesterday, we talked about this on the show, this Biden-style layaway, you know, provide influence now, pay later, the influence provided in 2015 as services rendered to CEFC and then the payment subsequent to or following Joe Biden's tenure as vice president. As House Oversight and Ways and Means and Judiciary is looking into all of these issues surrounding that and tying that in with the Biden impeachment investigation, what do you foresee happening in the new year, and how quickly will we start seeing some tangible results?
Well, the good news is we passed the House, and this is an inquiry. This gives us the power to let the judges know that we voted on it. We're in favor of it, of getting more facts. And these facts are pretty damaging, Amanda. And I hear from real great sources, there's going to be some more damaging things that come out on this president. You know, he can't just say I'm innocent, nor can his son. I think the evidence will show that he's indebted to China. The checks for $200,000 that was taken from, I think it was Amerisource, he had $40,000 from the CCP, the 20-some million that was known about. You know, the LLCs don't just appear out of thin air. The checks written to Joe Biden don't appear out of thin air. So I think they'll continue to do it. I think the end result, we'll have enough evidence. We can get 218 for that and get it to the Senate where it takes 2/3 vote. And this man needs consequences. And he's in violation of the emoluments clause just from what I see now of enriching himself and his family on foreign countries that do not like the United States.
Yeah, it's so frustrating sometimes. I woke up, I think yesterday morning, sir, to a headline in Reuters that said, House improves impeachment inquiry despite no evidence. And it's just remarkable. There is clear evidence that the president assisted his son in being able to get these deals by meeting and phone calls, sometimes taking actions that were beneficial. He doesn't have to be the beneficiary of the cash for this to be illegal or a high crime. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. And the other thing, John, as your investigations have shown, what skills did Hunter have to get $1 million a year? Name me one skill that he has. And I wish y'all were in the Rules Committee, and America was in the Rules Committee to hear. They put up a defense that just did not make sense to stop this investigation because they know where it's going. But he has no skills, and the fact that I bet Donald Trump's name was brought up 100 times in a 4 to 5 hour meeting that we had in the Rules Committee. But thankfully it came out. Thankfully the House voted to move the inquiry along, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's important.
Sir, legally for President Trump, we've seen some legal Hail Marys by some of these prosecutors. I'm wondering for the executive branch what President Biden does to throw Hail Marys. His approval rating just dropped to a new low. I think it's 33%, knocking on the door of hitting below the 30s. I think it's about 20 points down from where it was when he entered his presidency. What's the Hail Mary for him to get that number up?
I don't think he can. Look at the results. Under his, three years that he's been here, he's derailed this country. And I don't know how you walk it back. It's going to take some real diligent effort by people with courage to stop what he's done. How do you get 8 to 12 million people out of this country? How do you control a border that's controlled by drug cartels? How do you get the lives back of our young people who are dying every day? So it's going to take courage. It can be done. But it's going to take a monumental effort. This president is doing it intentionally, cognitively. He's not all there. But whoever his handlers are do not like America, and they're destroying this country at every level. And we just got to stop it.
Yeah. Sir, got about a minute left. I want to ask one question. It actually came up when I was at the coffee shop this morning. A person came up to me and asked you this question. Obviously, there's a lot of potential for impeaching the president based on the Hunter Biden and the influence peddling scandal. This person asked me, and it's a great question, is there any talk about impeaching Joe Biden because he's not enforcing the immigration laws? He's allowing the government to allow threats to come across the border. Has that ever come up in any of the discussions with your colleagues?
Absolutely. And a couple of things. They see who's in the wings. I mean, Kamala Harris, really? And so that's been a drawback. And it would have had to happen, I mean, way before now. We've got effectively 9 months, 10 months left before the election jumps in. So will anything happen? Probably not, but at least we're exposing it. And there's some type consequences that he and his son are going to have to face, at least publicized.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got another good one right around the corner. The chairman of the January 6th investigation, Barry Loudermilk, a man who's got more revelations on January 6th than the Democrats ever gave us. He'll be up right after the messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Well, Welcome back, America. Earlier today, the Supreme Court signaled that in the late winter or early spring months of next year, they are going to hear a case that could nullify hundreds of January 6 charges, including former President Donald Trump's. And considering that major news, amongst other breaking developments, I thought there is no better guest than our next one. And that's because he is Georgia Congressman Barry Loudermilk, and he's the chairman of the subcommittee on oversight for the Committee on House Admin. And he has been absolutely relentless in getting to the truth and the facts for the American people as it regards what happened on that fateful day in January of 2021. And lucky for us, he's here with us now. Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for being here. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Amanda. John, it's good to see you again. It's good to be with you.
You as well, sir.
It is good to have you. And, you know, I think back to the breathless coverage and commentary that took place not just on January 6th, but since then with the January 6th committee and the things that, thanks to you, we have learned since then regarding, you know, the Capitol doors being unlocked, this unprecedented errata with some pretty galvanic changes to Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony, the encouragement, seeming encouragement by Capitol Hill police officers, in some cases even ushering them onto into the Capitol. And we have a much different view of what we knew back then, and even as recently as when the January 6th committee ended. What do you think are some of the most substantive changes to what we have learned, and what's going to be the next shoe to drop?
I'm sorry, it totally cut off just then, Amanda. I missed your question.
I was just saying, from what we knew then and what we know now, obviously you have made so much of this come to light, and we appreciate that so much. And John has reported on it over on justthenews.com. What do you think some of the biggest changes to the story that January 6th committee tried to sell us have been, and what do you think is going to be the next shoe to drop?
Well, Amanda, I appreciate that. And the main emphasis that we have on this is that the American people deserve to know the truth. And I think one of the biggest changes that we've seen is where some people just took what the Select Committee took at face value. We're showing that there was definite political bias, and it appears that they had a preconceived narrative and that they were only looking for evidence that supported their narrative. We've uncovered a lot of evidence that is contrary to what they were telling us. There's not only flaws in their report, there are some flat out lies in the report. And the further we go down this path, the more that we're uncovering. And probably one of the biggest things I think that we saw happen in the last year, or that we discovered had happened, were the number of documents that were not preserved and were not passed along to our committee as the House rules mandated. And as we've talked about on this show many times, it's specific documents. They did preserve a lot of documents, but it's the type of documents that we didn't get a copy of, documents that were sent to the White House for the White House to keep. I only assume they wanted White House to exert executive privilege over those documents, but they are House documents. They sent documents to the Department of Homeland Security to keep. But there are also the videotapes of the depositions of Cassidy Hutchins and others that are just not anywhere. And the former chairman, Benny Thompson, pretty much admitted they didn't preserve those. Now, I think they are somewhere, and we are going to find these documents. And the reason it's important is because I believe it's what's in those documents is why they don't want us to see it. And that's what I don't understand is why are you hiding the documents, the particular documents that have not been passed along to us? And I am confident. I'm confident we are going to obtain those documents sooner rather than later. And I think that's going to further expose the lies that the American people were told about what happened here on January 6th, the extent of what happened, and who was actually behind it.
Yeah, such important questions for sure. Sir, you have opened up gargantuan new areas, avenues of inquiry, things that we would never even imagined 18 months ago might have been a point of contention or need for oversight. There's a lot that is going to need to be investigated. Do you need to increase your resources? Do you have any permission to go ahead and get more resources on board so you can dig into all of these avenues?
Absolutely, John. Speaker Johnson has been phenomenal in helping us with this. In fact, he's given me a commission to not only press forward in the method we've been doing, but increase our intensity into this. The first year was just kind of laying out where were we. We received about 2 million printed pages of documents and some hard drives with data on it without any indexing. It took us a while to figure out what we had and then what we didn't have. And then we have 44,000 hours of video footage to go through, which we started pouring through. And Speaker McCarthy, he provided us resources. He was fully behind us. Our committee reports directly to the Speaker's office. When Speaker Mike Johnson came in, one of the first meetings that he had was with me and kind of gave him an update of where we are. He was so impressed with what he found out that we have been working on. He said, I will give you whatever resources, material that you need to expand this investigation, to dig deeper and get the truth out to the American people.
Wow.
Fantastic. I can't wait for that. But, you know, and we had you on last time to talk about this, the destruction of evidence. And I just keep thinking, you know, if this was any other venue, the case would get thrown out. The attorneys would be disbarred. There would be no end to the reverberation of something like that. And yet that was allowed to happen. This was Nancy Pelosi's January 6th committee. And I wanted to ask you about, you know, the coordination or possible coordination with Fannie Willis. What are we learning about that?
Well, that's what's so important about this Fannie Willis letter, as was reported last week. We found this letter that she had written to the Select Committee asking for any information that they came across during a congressional investigation. That is a lot different than a criminal investigation, right? A congressional investigation. And so we have concerns over, you know, cooperation between elected members of Congress and a district attorney who's bringing RICO charges against a former president or anybody. That is kind of an area that concerns me, that you have this type of collaboration between a state DA and a congressional committee. Second of all, the letter was only from Mrs. Willis to Benny Thompson. There were no other information that we could find. There was no return letter. There was no letter saying, here's the information we're giving you, or, hey, just come to D.C. and peruse everything we have and take what you want. There was no other communication. So I ask Representative Thompson, what did you provide? Did you provide any information? What was it? Well, he responded through the press. I haven't gotten an official response from him yet, but he responded to the press. He didn't provide any information. But their report that they issued on December the 22nd, 2022, this multi-page novel that the committee published, indicates that they did provide information. So this is extremely important, because if there is information from a congressional investigation that is being used in a criminal prosecution, then there's evidentiary standards that have to be followed. And it appears that Congress didn't follow any type of legal standard because they did not preserve key evidence. When you have a congressional investigation, you're supposed to preserve everything, not just the evidence that supports your outcome, but even evidence that doesn't support that. I think that's what the missing documents are. I think we're going to be able to prove that very soon. But this is highly concerning. The other thing is, in a prosecution, the prosecutor is supposed to share all the evidence that they have with the defense attorney. Right. Well, does the Trump team even know what they had? And did they get more than what they're saying they received? So that's why Chairman Jim Jordan and I are looking into this so intently. One, I want to know if there are any other documents that Fannie Willis may have that I don't have, right? But also, how are they using that? And did it follow proper procedures that allows them to use that in a criminal investigation?
Yeah, such important questions. Sir, the courts are seeming to get more interested in January 6th. Supreme Court's going to take up a major issue in this. And today, the judge in the federal case against Donald Trump paused the case so that the issue of immunity can be resolved. An interesting change in tone in the courts. How important are those developments?
I think they're very important because these are landmark decisions that are about to happen. We're treading into areas that we have never gone before in this country. And if the veil of privilege is broken now, you've seen what's happened with impeachment, how impeachment has become so politicized by the Democrats. They used impeachment twice as a political weapon.
Right. We're
seeing that is happening in the legal sphere right now, is using indictments, using criminal procedures as a political weapon. And if the president of the United States is not going to have immunity, I think the Democrats ought to be very careful before they go into this, because they have a president right now that, whether he's elected or not, he could be in big trouble for criminal prosecutions as well. So this is an area that I think the courts have to look at very, very carefully. And so that's why I don't think Jack Smith or Fani Willis needs to be rushing into their cases, because if you look at most of these cases, when they've been looked at before, they take sometimes years to uncover all the evidence. They're rushing into this because we're coming up on an election that looks like Donald Trump's likely going to be the Republican nominee. That's what's motivating them, is they want to stop him from becoming president again. I don't believe they're actually looking for the truth.
Yeah.
Sir, we've just got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you, Hunter Biden showed up on Capitol Hill today, but not in the room that he was supposed to for closed-door testimony with House oversight. He was outside giving a very public press conference. Contempt charges coming down the pike?
Well, that would be up to the committees of jurisdiction, but if he was subpoenaed and he did not show up, I think that just adds to another list of charges that he's looking at. Look, I look at things like this. If he's innocent, why is he not willing to come and discuss things, right?
All right, folks. Congressman Brian Babin from the great state of Texas, up next after these messages.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Texas Congressman Brian Babin, he's on the front line of all of this history. He's joining us right now. Congressman, great to have you on the show, sir. A lot going on today. I want to start just with your top line on the impeachment inquiry. How important is it that the House authorize this impeachment inquiry?
Well, you know, the Democrats didn't do it. But all of a sudden, the White House is pushing back on us and our impeachment inquiry and saying the House needs to make a move and make a decision. I'm planning to vote for it because I think it's very, very important that we check every box as we move forward in these investigations by these committees, which are uncovering an enormous amount of evidence that there was a lot of corruption going on, bribery, allegations, which certainly look real to me. So I'm planning to vote for it. I think it's something that is necessary. And if it doesn't pass, I still think we should be moving forward on impeachment.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, that was what I wanted to ask you. How much of a hindrance is it to Republicans and investigating these overseas business dealings and relationship between Hunter Biden's finances and his father's finances? How much of a hindrance is that going to be if this vote goes haywire in a little bit?
It's not going to be a disaster. I think anybody that has a fair mind, an open mind about this, And quite frankly, I would like to think that our president, our current president, and his family are honest. But let me tell you something. It doesn't look like that. I know a rotten fish when I smell one. And the things that are coming out of these hearings, the whistleblowers that have come forward, the 20 shell companies, a check to Joe Biden totaling, I think there's a record shows that Biden received $240,000 in direct payments from his own family members through these shell companies. It just doesn't look good. And then for this joke of a stunt, his son defying a subpoena, and then making these statements out in front of the Capitol today, just outrageous. You know, he's obligated to come. The son of President Trump spent hours and hours and hours testifying. Why can't Hunter Biden? He just has the sleaze. It just reeks on Hunter, his private life, his drugs, his women, the spending of these types of monies, and trying to embroil government operations with his family business and his friends and cronies. And again, these whistleblowers, that's the thing that I think is some of the most convincing, as well as bank records, which do not lie.
Yeah, that's a mm-hmm. good point. And they do tell quite a story. Sir, I want to turn to something that you've been a champion of, trying to get the Americans back to border security, something Joe Biden eradicated when he came into office. Yesterday, there was President Zelensky in town asking for more money for Ukraine. Republicans seem very united. You're not going to get it unless Joe Biden closes our border and protects our people. How important a message was that for both the president of Ukraine and the president of the United States to hear?
Extremely important. They're expecting us to continue to shell out billions and billions of dollars in cash payments and monies and funds to go to Ukraine, as well as the weaponry and the ordnance and munitions to go. And let me tell you something. My heart goes out to the Ukrainian people. And if Putin wins this war, there will be negative consequences for Western civilization, especially the United States and Western Europe. So I would love to see that happen. But let me tell you something. We cannot be sending billions of dollars to the Ukraine when our border is wide open. I happen to be born and raised in the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State. Our border is wide open. If it wasn't for our state legislature, our state government there, and our governor, I can tell you it would be much worse. And I can tell you this. This is why Arizona is so in such bad shape, especially down at Lukeville, because a lot of these illegals are being funneled up to Arizona because they know Texas is kind of a tough nut to crack right now. And so it's very, very important that we start getting this administration to start living up to their oaths of office, enforcing the law, and protecting our people from the incursion of suspected terrorist criminal activity, the cartels who are basically in charge of our border and making billions of dollars. I'm on the cartel task force. I'm also the co-chair of the House Border Security Caucus. I can tell you it is a bad situation with a lot of corruption, possible terrorism. And I think it's a matter of when, not if, we get hit again because of these open borders and the negligence and dereliction of duty on the part of Alejandro Mayorkas and his boss, Joe Biden.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That money just keeps flowing to Ukraine. I think that Zelensky had his PIN number ready when he came to the ATM in Washington, D.C., known as Joe Biden. But I wanted to ask you about something, some of your legislation that I think is so important, because Americans oftentimes get lost in the huge stories along the border of people flooding across illegally. But there's a different side of illegal immigration that takes place, and it's when people come to this country. Sometimes they come, on a visa, but sometimes they just act like it's here for vacation. They have a baby. Actually, here in Los Angeles, we, in the last couple of years, had 20 hotels busted in a sting operation for providing birth tourism resources. This is a huge issue, and it's a part of illegal immigration that not a lot of people talk about, but I know you are.
Absolutely. In fact, it's such an important part of our border problems and our immigration problem that I have introduced a bill called the Birthright Citizenship Act of 2023. And this actually combats a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment, an amendment to the U.S. Constitution following the Civil War. This 14th Amendment was written for the children of freed slaves. And for a period of time, Section 1 of the 14th Amendment was properly applied as written and as intended to ensure all American citizens were afforded the sacred constitutional protections that they deserve. And in recent decades, though, it has been misinterpreted, misapplied. The specific language in the amendment has led to the implementation of what you just talked about, the practice of birthright citizenship, in which children born to foreign nationals, they could be illegals, they could be tourists, they could be refugees, are automatically granted U.S. citizenship. And it has created this economic a boondoggle called birth tourism. It's a millions and millions of dollars business where you might have someone coming, a Chinese nationalist, a woman who's 9 months pregnant, comes over here with a tourist visa, has a baby. That baby becomes what we call an anchor baby, and then they go back to China, or they can even stay here. But that anchor baby will get those family members into the United States on these, chain migration is what this is causing. And so we have to do something about this. This is a birthright citizenship is nothing but a powerful incentive for continued illegal immigration. It has been wrongly accepted as law. Many of its supporters claim that the Constitution guarantees that if you just get across the border, have a baby, then that baby is a citizen. They are wrong. And so we have to get this into the courts. We have to get it into the Supreme Court. I think with the current membership of the Supreme Court, there's a good chance that this will be interpreted the way the writers of the 14th Amendment intended it for it to be written, and stop the continued exploitation of America's generosity and liberal rules.
All right, don't go anywhere. Robert Greenway's got a great conversation around the corner right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, everybody. Israel's defense minister says that the war against Hamas is going to likely last months. Robert Greenway is a veteran of the United States Army Special Forces. He completed 6 combat tours in the Middle East, and he also served in the Trump administration on the National Security Council. But now he is the director of the Heritage Foundation Center for National Defense, and he joins us now. Robert, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you for being here, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Sir, it seems like every day we are hearing more updated news out of Israel. You've now got Biden administration staffers, their own staffers who are outside calling for a ceasefire, contrasting the rhetoric from this administration. It is quite possibly one of the prickliest issues, I think, for Joe Biden to handle as president going into an election year. What do you foresee happening over the Christmas holidays with this?
Well, traditionally, the Christmas holidays have been some of the busiest for our adversaries, and I suspect we can rightfully anticipate that we're going to see increased escalation and provocation. And it seems every day we're waking up to additional news that Iran and its surrogates are conducting additional attacks, most recently in the Red Sea, of course, interdicting and disrupting maritime trade. I suspect Israel is going to continue to make progress in Gaza, and their attention is increasingly turned to the northern front with Hezbollah in Lebanon, we could see the beginnings of escalation on that front as well. So I think we need to buckle up over the holidays. We're probably going to see, unfortunately, greater escalation and provocation from Iran.
Yeah, I think there is clearly some turbulence ahead on the horizon, no doubt about it. Sir, I wanted to talk a little bit about the NDAA, which passed over the last 24 hours. There's a lot of important pieces of legislation there addressing some of the ideological indoctrination that has kind of creeped into the Pentagon. Are you satisfied with the NDAA? What are some of the highlights for you as someone who looks at it from a strategic perspective?
I have to say that I've been less than impressed with what was included. It's interesting what has been omitted from it. We're experiencing now the largest recruiting crisis in our nation's history, and surprisingly, the NDAA does nothing really to address it. And in fact, the end strength numbers adopted by our services, particularly the Army, recognize they can't fill their own ranks, and we're accepting that. And so we're continually accepting the decrement, and we're moving the goalposts south. So in addition to not recognizing the damaging impact that paying attention and prioritizing criteria other than character and competence is having on our service, we're also not addressing, again, the worst recruiting crisis in our nation's history. And it, of course, of being attacked as we are now in the Middle East without being able to respond doesn't do anything, I think, to attract our citizens from joining their service.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. Sir, I was watching a college basketball game a few nights ago, and at halftime, there were 18 new Army recruits, cadets, who were honored on the basketball floor. And while I had so much pride at looking at the next generation of people who are going to be fighting for our country, I couldn't help but be concerned because we have to consider the notion that Joe Biden is going to be serving a second term, and considering the fecklessness of foreign policy of his first term, I am very concerned that that's affecting recruiting as well going into a second administration, because there are a second term for this administration, because who knows what other conflicts will arise. Do you?
No, I think that's absolutely right. And trust and confidence in government institutions is at historic lows. Trust and confidence in the military, which historically resides above our government institutions, is also suffering. And as I said, and as you point out, the fact that our troops are being exposed to significant dangers and they're not being allowed to respond doesn't help. And you're right. We now have a conflict in Europe. We have a conflict escalating in the Middle East. We have now the Venezuelans are eyeing Guyanan territory, both on land and offshore. And China is continually looking closer and closer at provocations in the South China Sea and Taiwan. Almost every continent now has a conflict. And under those circumstances, it's not surprising many are reluctant to serve.
Yeah. And I want to take that argument a little further to our allies. If allies see a president whose family was taking millions from one of our top adversaries, China, waving billions to Iran, despite the fact that they continue to attack our forces and propagate terrorism across the world, and his own staff is willing to shame him in front of his own White House by arguing for the terrorists instead of the victims of October 7th, what message do our allies take about the state of America under Joe Biden?
So while one can only judge their actions, and their actions indicate that they view this as an opportunity to exploit the weakness that they're seeing. And it's not surprising that we have the outbreak of escalation as a result of it. And look, if you just look at the numbers, we have now supplied just a tremendous amount of resources to our adversaries. If you had to look at that alone, you'd think that the president was fond of China, the president was fond of Vladimir Putin, and the president was fond of the leadership in Tehran, because all of them have unprecedented access to resources, despite the fact that we've, on theory and on paper, imposed sanctions on them. But none of them are suffering financially as a result of it. And in fact, we just offloaded liquid fertilizer in Norfolk, Virginia, just this past week from Russia. So look, if we're buying Russian products, it's hard to understand that we're applying adequate financial pressure given the conflict in Ukraine. And if we want to restrict Putin's aggressive behavior, then certainly allowing him not to profit off the conflict and continue to export is probably where we need to start.
Yeah, that's a great point. Excellent point.
Sir, for 2 years, John and I have been asking guests with respect to Ukraine and Russia what a victory looks like. And it's been very hard to nail down answers because it's ever changing. And it seems like that is also the situation with Israel. But also there's an added aspect to it in that, and this is something that you highlighted on social media, that whether it is in hostage swaps or the lifting of sanctions, oil revenue for Iran, they have reaped billions upon billions upon billions, and that's who is ultimately funding the Hamas side of the war. So what does a victory look like when we're actually funding it?
Yeah, it's not surprising we're getting attacked if we're paying for the process. I don't know any other administration that would provide resources to our adversaries simply because they're attacking us, or under the conditions in which we're being attacked. Iran now is accessing $10 billion in electricity sales that Iraq does not need through Oman, while we've now conducted, or we've received, over 100 attacks from the same Iranians and their terrorist surrogates and proxies. It's not surprising it's not ending, because they're obviously finding it a very lucrative business. They're hijacking additional ships, taking additional hostages, because they found that this is a revenue stream for them. And so as long as the Biden administration is willing to pay for the privilege, obviously we're going to see increased provocations, and we shouldn't be surprised. Now, obviously, at the same time, I think a reversal in policy would get us the opposite results. Certainly, that's been our experience. It was my experience in the Trump administration.
Yeah, no doubt. So just real quickly, about 20 seconds left, the idea of letting Ukraine into NATO, looks like European Union was starting to go that direction. Concerning to you or not?
So I think we ought to put that conversation on hold. The last thing I think we ought to do is bring a member in that's already in conflict. At some point in the future, it's possible. But at the moment, I think it's unrealistic and not profitable.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap up the week with a very important conversation with Aaron Withey at the Freedom Foundation and all of the things going on in our schools related to teachers' unions, the efforts to push back, to free teachers from the pressures that teachers' unions sometimes put on them. And they sometimes spend their money without their permission. Aaron Withey is going to describe the victories and the challenges ahead right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, America. There's a new Florida law that requires public employee unions, including teachers' unions, to prove they have 60% paying dues members in a school district or bargaining unit. Miami-Dade didn't meet the threshold due to dissatisfaction with that teachers' union. Now, joining us now to talk about how the Freedom Foundation is working alongside educators who are standing up to the big teachers' unions for their own personal liberty is Aaron Withey, the president of the very organization that got this thing going. Aaron, great to have you on the show today.
John, Amanda, thank you for having me back.
This Florida law is a very big deal. It really is the codification, I think, of many years of hard work by your team. Tell us why it's so significant and how it could transform school districts around the country.
John, what it does is it puts the power back in the hands of teachers and out of the hands of the teachers' unions. What we've seen across the country, and especially in Florida, is a bunch of teachers that are paying union dues today that don't necessarily want to be represented by a union, certainly don't want to be paying union dues. What this bill does is it makes it so if union membership falls below 60% in a school district, for example, then there has to be a decertification vote. That means that all members in that school district must decide if they want to be represented by this union or not. It seems pretty fair to me. If they fall below that and they don't want to be represented by this union, then they shouldn't be. So Miami-Dade is one of the largest school districts in America, and they're having a decertification vote because membership has fallen below 60%, and we're helping a group of teachers to set up what we call the Miami-Dade Education Coalition. It's going to be a group, a local association, a union, if you will, that is for teachers by teachers, and we're excited to have this off the ground, and we hope that we're successful in Miami and in school districts across Florida.
Free market competition.
Aaron, I think it's important to talk about what exactly happened here, especially with respect to two teachers who were not paying dues. Look, we all know the history of unions complicated and conflicted history. I think that unions are the epitome of the road to hell is paved with good intentions, because we know mob involvement and some of the mob type tactics that they have employed in the past. And they were trying to strong arm these two teachers, sending advocates into the teachers' lounges to make these people pay up when, correct me if I'm wrong, they already left the union.
Yeah, so what we've seen the past few weeks is the union got desperate, and they're desperate to sign up members because they know if they can't meet that 60% threshold, then the future doesn't look good for this union. So, you know, if you're a free market organization, what I would do if I were the union is I'd provide benefits that outweigh the cost of membership for these teachers. That's not what the teachers union, the United Teachers of Data, has done here. They are bullying these teachers. They are harassing them. We've had multiple calls of instances where the unions have gone into the classrooms and stopped instruction. One teacher got harassed in the bathroom, another in the faculty lounge by these union shop stewards, harassing these people, trying to get them to sign up for membership. These are people that had left the union. They are $1,000 a year better off than their colleagues that are a part of the union, and they don't want to go back. They find no benefit in doing that. We see this across the board, and that's why the UTD, this teachers union, is so desperate to sign up members, because they're not performing, they're not providing the services that these teachers want.
Yeah, so important. Now, in addition to helping educators on this front to maybe get some independence from these unions that have been monopolies for a long time, you're also working with educators who are fighting back against some of the woke agenda and woke policies that aren't teaching children how to learn. They're teaching them how to think. Tell us some of the successes that you're having on that front.
Yeah, so John, as you referenced, we exist to be a resource to teachers throughout the country that want to stand up to the union's woke ideology and teach traditional values, teach reading, writing, math, and all the rest of it. The unions obviously do not want that. They want the next generation of liberal voters coming out of their schools. So we're helping those teachers. We put on a conference this summer for 200 plus educators across the country, and we're building this grassroots network of teachers in all 50 states of people that just want to teach these traditional values. The unions, when you look at them, I mean, the past few years, we've seen critical race theory, sex ed, and of course, all the COVID stuff they put in place. These teachers unions, they do not want traditional values being taught in our schools. So we're working with teachers across the country that want to promote that, and we're giving them all the tools that they need to stand up to the unions and their woke ideology.
So important.
Well, I got to say, it kind of seems like they don't even want things like math and science and reading taught, because as we saw from this latest testing nationally, 13-point decline, and you've got National Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, blaming COVID, saying it was because students weren't in person. But I distinctly remember during COVID, a lot of these union bosses saying that remote learning was going to be just fine.
Yeah, Randy Weingarten in particular, she was a massive advocate for shutting down schools because she wanted to use it for her own political agenda. I'll tell you what these unions really want. I think Oregon is one of the best examples of this. They've actually removed all graduation standards to graduate from high school in Oregon now. So this is now a place where test scores are decreasing far past the national averages because Oregon schools were shut for so long. And then you have graduation standards going up. What these unions want is they want kids coming out of schools that are not prepared for the workforce, and they want to create a place where they're reliant upon government for all their services because they can't provide for themselves. That's the true agenda of the teachers' unions. They want this socialist utopia where they're going to crank out these liberal voters from our public schools, and that's what the teachers' unions are about. They are not about educating our kids. So we at the Freedom Foundation are fighting these teachers' unions at every level. And of course, Florida is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what we're campaigning on. Our real grassroots campaign is to tell every public employee in America, you have the rights to opt out of your union. You have the rights to stop paying union dues, and we can help you to do that.
Yeah, so important. One of the many great things, Aaron, that your team has done is they've built a surveillance system so that if a parent or a teacher sees something inappropriate, they can engage you. Real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. What's the best way? If someone sees something in the school district they think is troubling, how do they work with the Freedom Foundation to get the problem fixed?
go to freedomfoundation.com. All of our resources are on there. Our phone number at our office, our email, all our staff emails are listed on there. And if you're a public employee listening and watching who wants to get out of their union, go to optouttoday.com. That's the resource that we've created for every public employee in America.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. A big thank you to Congressmen Ralph Norman, Barry Lauterman, Brian Babin for a great conversation. Robert Greenway, Aaron Withey, rounding out a great cast today. I really appreciate them. And also, remember, if you go to GetSuperBeats.com, you can get the Superbeats Healthy Chews. They're amazing. I love them. And of course, before you know it, you are seeing your blood pressure go down. That's what happened with me. GetSuperBeats.com. GetSuperBeats.com. Use the promo code JustNews. You're going to get a great discount. That's a good deal. Great stocking stuffer if you're looking for last-minute stocking stuffers. All right, folks, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow, Monday, with regular programming. Until then, God bless you and have a great night. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, expert politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.